Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. We are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man that needeth no introduction, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, let me be the first to say, and you know what I'm going to say, happy Reformation month.
Man.
That's right. We here, baby. Best month of the year. That's where we're at.
I was gonna not to dampen the mood.
Yeah.
But dude, we lost some major players in the game of music and sports this last couple days.
Oh yeah.
First off, I wanna say rest in peace to the real captain.
R.I.P.
Captain Kris Kristofferson.
That's right, man.
Who passed away recently.
Yep.
He was actually a captain in the Army, in the Airborne. So,
all right. R.I.P. Kris.
So R.I.P. Kris Kristofferson. He's now part of the Highwaymen up there in the glory in the sky kind of thing.
That's right.
We don't know. We don't know his eternal.
We don't.
I will say this. I was shocked. Dikembe Mutombo, dude. Mr.
Oh, really?
Not happening. He died of brain cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And then
Maggie.
Pete Rose.
Oh,
Pete Rose died.
Pete Rose.
And the MLB said nothing. They
oh,
like,
no.
Bye, Felicia. Dude, that was cold as ice.
I don't like that.
Cold as ice.
Professor McGonagall.
Yeah.
She
Maggie
took
Smith.
Off too. Maggie yeah. Smith, dude.
So it's all three of those. Man. So who is it? Dumbledore, Snape, and McGonagall are all gone.
They're all gone, man. Well, thanks for like bringing it down.
I hey, mean, man,
look, it's still better. Look, yeah,
spooky season.
It's spooky season.
You got some death coming in there.
Got
you know,
some death coming in there. You got some horrible, horrible hot takes from
Portland.
From Ray Ortland.
Oh, Ray Ray.
With an L, man.
Ray Ray, what you doing, baby?
If y'all don't
like,
know.
Why?
Oh, my goodness. The episode's not on this, but I just got to say, like, we rag where ragging is due. That was one of the worst takes I've ever heard in
yeah.
my life.
Yeah.
From a guy that I wouldn't have expected it from. Like, I know everyone. So, okay, let's just give a little backstory. Again, this isn't what the episode's on. I don't really care about this, but I brought it up. Ray Ortland put out on Threads, because he's not on Twitter anymore. He made a heat. Ray Ortland did the whole like announcing his goodbye on Twitter. Like, I'm taking a leave of absence. And everyone's like, okay, bye. But on Threads, he put it was three lines. It was never Trump. Today, Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Always Christ.
Always Jesus.
Always Jesus. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah.
What are you like, talking about, Willis?
Bro, you could have said nothing and you would have been okay.
Like, he should have said nothing.
Dude, you could have kept it to yourself And you would have not had all the hate on Twitter because, dude, they are dragging him.
I mean,
they are
well deserved. It's
him.
A loser take. I'm sorry. I'm just speaking plainly. It's Reformation Month. I have no filter. Reformation Month equals Josh with no filter. I know. It's going to be crazy. yeah, it was a horrible take. Like, again, if you don't want to vote for Trump, that's cool. That's whatever, right? But, like, why?
Yeah.
Why vote for Harris? Like, it's we live in America. You know, there's a third option, right? You could write in or abstain, my friend. Like, I just the mentality that we have, especially with the older generation, it is an older generation thing that I'm finding is that you have to. It's A or B. It's A or B. Like C does not exist, and I'm over here like C very much exists.
Oh yeah,
I'm
just C is like, very much in
you
play.
You are
people.
You are traveling. You are a citizen of heaven, traveling to the celestial city. Cast your vote in the ballot on your way out. Like it's not that crazy. Anyway, sorry. Episode's not about that. Just that was a bonkers move, dude.
Like, I didn't like that. Yeah. And I really like Ray Ortland's stuff, but I mean, yeah,
he
that
has
take
some
was
great stuff. Yeah. He really does. Yeah, I've like the stuff that I've read from Ray. I don't know him very well. I know that he's being accused of wokeness and all that stuff. And I mean, after that take, like I understand a little bit more. but from what I've read of him, it's been encouraging stuff. Like, but anyway, whatever. Some opinions are just best not shared. End of the day lessons, Jack. We wouldn't know anything about that because we run a podcast.
Oh my gosh.
A podcast that my friend last this episode's very momentous. Mm. We as a podcast have been on the airwaves for 5 years.
Hey.
5 years, my friend.
Yeah. Half a decade, baby.
We started the Reformatory very apropos right before October in 2019. Mm-hmm. And here we are, October 2024.
Rocktober, dude.
Dude, it's been a ride.
Yeah, it has.
It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. But anyway, Jack, my friend, we've got stuff to get to. All right. But before we do, in regular Reformatory fashion, why don't you please hit us with the Reformatory cigar, or in this case, cigars of the week. What do you got for us, my friend?
Yeah. So, you know, we didn't end September necessarily with, any kind of other Southern Draw cigars. But honestly, like, I felt like that was okay from the selection that we gave the people. But I will say this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to chop this cigar of the month, cigar of the week, into two sections. One of them is recommending a brand. And then the weeks to follow will be another brand with their line of cigars. Because I think that will be a little bit better. But I did want to recommend one brand to people. It's called so a lot of the times a lot of different companies, what they do is they'll make their main brand and then they'll do a lot of offshoots. They'll do a lot of maybe like lines of cigars that may be a little bit more wallet friendly and do them in bulk sometimes. And so this October can be called in two parts. October is for Old Henry and Oz Family Cigars. So Old and Oz going on here.
I like it.
So Old Henry Cigars are blended exclusively for Holtz, which is a cigar distributor online by cigar makers Pepin and Jaime Garcia. Pepin and Jaime Garcia in Esteli, Nicaragua. They're handcrafted in several traditional sizes, obviously like Robusto, Toro, Gordo as well too. Basically, you have the original Old Henry blend is drawn from a oily Ecuadorian Habano wrapper leaf over premium Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos culted on select Garcia family estates. Hearty notes of cedar, pepper and earthy layer. The palate throughout a complex and leathery smoke and hints of baking spices, if you will.
Ooh, baking spices.
So you can basically, you can do like, man, it's like if you get like a box of 25, it's like around $130.
Nice.
So
okay.
That's for like bellicosos or like torpedoes.
Sure.
A single can get you anywhere between MSRP of like... anywhere from like $5 to $8, depending upon the size. Five pack can probably get you anywhere from like $35 to $40, just depending upon your sizes too.
Sure.
So, yeah, definitely recommend this because you have two really good cigar makers behind it. Even though it's not like a well-established brand, right, you're getting bang for your buck and you're getting good tobacco from the Pepin and Garcia families.
Yeah.
And those guys have been in the game for a long time in Esteli. So, highly recommend Old Henry Cigars to you. Next week, we will start with the first lineup of Oz Family Cigars.
Love
so
it.
That'll be interesting. But there Love you have it.
There it is. There it is. Fantastic. Well, Jack, well done, as always, my friend. Bring in a close to September and an excellent open to October Reformation Month, our favorite month here on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do. That is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and we bid you to go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack, we are going to get into a very interesting topic today, and it's one that I think we have covered before, but it has been brought up to us multiple times now due to the recent events with the whole Steve Lawson and stuff like that we have covered before. I think a very natural question that comes to the surface in times like this, right, when we see men or women that have, you know, been known for, I would say their theological precision, right? They might be in our Reformed Calvinistic camp, right? They might be conservative in their beliefs, right? Whatever have you. And we see them have great falls and failings, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just pastors. It can be it can be bands, musical artists, right, that have started out very solid and have put out some very good material, very good songs, very good writings, very good sermons, very good articles, very good podcasts, whatever it is. And then something happens and we see the character break, and whatever, pet sin that has been kind of left undealt with rears its ugly head, and they fall and they fail. And often with pastors, it results in disqualification, right? Again, as we've seen with men like Steve Lawson, men like Art Azurdia, Mark Driscoll, and
Ravi Zacharias.
Ravi Zacharias.
Although he kind of evaded that. Basically,
he did. It was postmortem. It was postmortem with Ravi Zacharias. He didn't have to face the consequences of his sin, because he passed on before everything came out. And boy, the stuff that came out was horrific. But anyway, you know, we see things like that, and I think a natural question that comes up is, well, what do we do with all of the material and all of the resources that these individuals have produced, right? With Lawson, you have countless sermons, so many conferences, podcast episodes, Bible studies, books, right? What do we do with those? Ravi Zacharias and his... he was primarily apologetics. What about all his apologetic material? Right. For me, and I'll say personally, and I've spoken about this on the podcast before, Art Azurdia was a friend. He was a friend of my family. He baptized me. truly believe, and I can say this honestly, like, and this is what makes that particular situation so difficult for me. I believe I was saved under his preaching.
Yeah.
I heard the gospel, I mean, so many times as a kid, but I remembered a distinct moment hearing him preach, and I was in the room, I was with him, when he was talking about the gospel, and it was then I felt my heart quicken. I felt an understanding of the gospel, right? The Lord used Artaxerdia to do that in my life. That's not a lie. That wasn't a feeling. It wasn't fake. It happened.
Yeah.
And that he had a moral failing, very, very similar to Steve Lawson's. What do I do with that? You know? And those are hard questions, and they're real questions, and they're questions that even now, every time this happens, honestly, I re-ask myself that question. Is what do I do with all of the Steve Lawson books that I had on my shelf, right? What do I do with these things? So it's a natural question, and I think it's a good question and something that we want to talk about. And I think that there's a lot of factors that work into it. I will pose this first, and then I want to throw it over to you, Jack. Yeah. I think it's important to acknowledge that in these things, first and foremost, there is not, I would say, a hard and fast rule to this, nor do I believe there is anything in scripture that I can point to that directly gives us an answer for these questions. Something we have to acknowledge is that the answer to these questions, I believe, does fall into the realm of conscience. I think it is a conscience issue for the individual as to how they respond regarding resources that these individuals have put out kind of, you know, before their fall. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think I was the first person to experience somebody who fell out of us too, which is Mark Driscoll.
I think that hit you a lot harder than it hit me, for sure.
Yeah. And I think it was because I was part of a Mars Hill church, right?
Right. Right.
And so that was difficult to walk through. I think it was even more difficult that he evaded church discipline, kept calling himself pastor, wanted to put out a new ministry in his name. Just a bunch of stuff. Honestly, I've burned it all. I got rid of all of my Mark Driscoll stuff. Even with the Steve Lawson stuff, I only have one book of his, and it's in the For You series. It's like a commentary. I'll probably burn that too, to be quite honest. Like, and it's not, it has nothing to do with some sort of like Hitler-esque like book burning. I don't need that anymore, nor do I want other people to consume that as well. So the only way for me to really get rid of it is either in the garbage or burn it.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of my, I think, it would be interesting. I might have to go back and see how one of my former seminary professors dealt with Mark's failing as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Brashears, who's at Western Seminary, he co-wrote a book on doctrine with Mark. And I'm wondering, and I'm wondering how he has processed that over the years. If there's anything out on the internet that I can find, I might put that out to the podluckers to get some other stuff. But yeah, I'm done with it. I don't think Mark Driscoll wants to even it is going to take a literal work of God for that man to repent, because he grifts like a grifter. He is the biggest charlatan that I know of. And he will try and use his place and his power to get money and to make money.
Right.
And I think he has a lot to account for.
Yep.
And so does Steve Lawson. I mean, if you thought Mark Driscoll was big, I feel like Steve Lawson is the more polished, proper expositor. That really was like pulling the wool over our eyes for 5 years. If what is said is true.
Right.
If he was in this adulterous relationship for the last 5 years, up until he confessed about a couple weeks ago, with a older 20s woman, and he was late 60s at the time.
Right.
And I mean, it's just like, dude, like, look at the, like, that's the thing about the internet too. You have timestamps.
Oh, sure.
You can go back and look at his talks when it's timestamped, and you can literally say he was in that adulterous relationship at that time.
Yeah. Which is crazy, dude.
Like, he has some gumption to talk about purity, about other people's failings when he was covering that stuff all up.
Sure.
And that's probably more egregious than sometimes what I think of Mark. Mark, I think he was guilty of a lot of stuff of not being qualified for an elder.
Yeah.
Because of his attitude. But I mean, you kind of know what you're getting with Mark Driscoll. Let's be honest.
Well, and I mean, there are different types of disqualifications, right?
Yeah.
Like, both are disqualifying, but you know, all sins have consequence. And in that respect, all sins are equal.
Yeah.
But not all consequences are the same.
Yeah.
So in that way, sins are not equal.
See?
Right?
Yeah.
And you have types of sins that have, for lack of a better term, a larger blast radius than others. Right? And for me, with the implications that come with particular sins, place them on levels of egregiousness in my mind. And adultery is near, if not at the top of that list for me when it comes to the qualifications of a pastor, because of what that particular sin says about the character of that person. Not to say that, you know, other sins don't speak to the character. They all do, right? But the type of lies and the depth of deception that someone has to willingly go through in order to keep a sin like that hidden is, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's pretty sinister.
It is
pretty sinister. Yeah. I think what makes Mark's Driscoll sin, and this is not to placate on who's the worst.
No, out of the two. I don't think that's a healthy thing to do anyway.
But I will say that there was a way of restoration for Mark.
There was. Correct.
That could have been done effectively.
Correct.
And it really was, let's be honest, this goes back to the nature of why people don't want to come forward is the onus is on you.
Yep.
It is now up to you if you want to go through this or if you want to, you know, be a coward about it.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, and I think that's a great point. And that kind of is what I'm saying too, is that, you know, I think when we're trying to make a decision as to how to use resources, one thing that I look at, it's going to be a mix of all of these, but one of the things that I look at is what is the particular sin that we're talking about, right? A Mark Driscoll type of sin, right? Like Jack said, at the beginning, it had a track to restoration.
Yeah.
If he had repented and he had submitted himself to the elders, being brought back into the fold from the things he was struggling with was very possible. Someone like Steve Lawson, it's one and done.
Yeah.
One and done. Not that you can't be reconciled back to Christ, not that you can't be reconciled back to the church, but you should, because many churches still allow it, which is asinine to me. You should biblically never be reconciled back to the office. You have lost that privilege. You've lost it and have forfeited that. And some people say, well, that sounds really harsh. That doesn't sound very forgiving. Sin has consequences, my friend. And sometimes certain sins, and this is kind of the point that I'm trying to make, have lasting consequences.
Yeah.
And adultery is one of those, right? So it's important to realize that. And I think it's also important to realize, as we've also said, that like one of the hard sticky wickets, if you will, of these type of things is that you will have, like Jack was saying, you know, Steve Lawson was in this. He was in this relationship while still speaking against being in these types of relationships, right? Yeah. Which is crazy. But the fact but the fact remains, you like disqualified individuals can still speak truth. They can still speak truth. And that's a hard thing to reconcile.
Yeah.
Is it might be coming from a place of blatant hypocrisy, but it doesn't negate that the truth is still there. Now, does that mean that we take that stance and say, well, all truth is God's truth? You know, let's not really consider the source as long as the truth is true. And let's just let's just take what's true and what's good and then kind of separate it from its author. Right. I would argue no. And here's why. I have a couple of reasons why. Yeah. One, with especially modern day resources of individuals that have fallen, there's a financial element that is attached to it. And that if I'm going to purchase books written by authors who are still living and have fallen, they in most cases are receiving monetary gain from those books. I don't want my money going to those individuals because I do not want to support them. It's the same reason that we've talked about this on the podcast. It was a while ago. Same reason we don't sing Bethel or Hillsong songs in our church. It's because if you're doing things correctly as a church, you got to get the CCLI numbers and you got to report. And those are things that you pay for the rights to use those songs. I believe Bethel is a cult. And I believe Hillsong, if it's they're at least at the very least cult adjacent. I don't want my money going to that. So you have to use some discernment financially to realize that if you're going to keep using these resources, right? In most cases, those individuals that have fallen are still receiving benefits from that. Like that's a real thing, right? I think another one for me is that I have a very difficult time, and I think this is where the conscience part comes in, Jack. I have a very difficult time separating the words of the author from the character of the author. I really do. I really do. You can say true things, but if I know that in that moment, even in the moment of you saying it, it was coming from a place of unbelief or a place of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to receive those truths in the spirit that I probably should be.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't have the character to back up what you believe, I'm not going to trust what you say.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to. Because if you're telling me one thing and your character and your conduct shows the exact opposite, you're not even telling me something you fully believe. And I am not interested in learning from you or taking things that you have to say when you have proven that you don't even believe the words that you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's a really big one for me, man.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. I've got one or two more, but I wanted to throw those to you and hear your thoughts on those before I wrap my reasons up, at least.
That's a very important point that you made. I think most of our conversation today is really kind of in the spirit of somewhat you see in the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, where they'll tell the people one thing and they'll do another. Really in their own hearts and minds, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like it's about them and it's about securing power, and having that. And, Jesus is very blunt and honest with them too. Like, I just keep remembering that one state. It's like, you're whitewashed tombs. You are full of the bones of dead men, you know? Yeah. It's like, you can't get any blunter than that. So yeah, I feel as though if you're saying stuff and the truth comes out that you were in an adulterous relationship when you were saying those things, like, mm-hmm. you are really no better than the Pharisaical leaders of the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it goes back to, I think it goes back to as well as, which I think the church is having some issues, which is our witness to the world around us.
Sure.
So if a local church, if that local church is very fundamentalist in the ways of, I preach the word and you can't ask questions, that's going to be a hard witness to the rest of us believers who, right. to some degree, have unbelievers coming into their local churches on the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. and sitting down and listening to sermons and wanting to know more, mm-hmm. and wanting to hear out what the gospel is and what its entirety is. And mm-hmm. we are praying for them. So yeah, it's a little bit of a difficulty thing when you have resources on your shelves of your local church,
yeah.
that may have disqualified people. It's like, right. well, we don't want to do that because we want to maintain our witness.
Yeah.
And our witness is, if you sin and if you're in a position of authority, and especially if you're a position within an office of a local church, like, mm-hmm. you need to be disciplined. And
right.
as Steve Lawson, like, he needed to be removed, like, post haste.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think that it has to be, we're doing these things because we're kind of grieving, but we're also trying to maintain that a watching world is watching the church. And sometimes a local church, the best way to do this is, yeah, they were wrong and we're right. not using their material anymore. So.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, man. And it kind of dovetails into my final one, is that, like, it's one of the main questions that I ask when dealing with this kind of stuff, right? Whether it be, you know, books or resources from pastors, songs from, you know, from bands or artists that have, you know, gone off the deep end, right? One of the questions that I ask is, am I gaining something from these people or this individual that I cannot gain somewhere else?
Yeah.
Right. And I'll be honest, I can't think of any topics, theological, Christian living, fill in the blank, where the works of someone who has fallen into sin and disqualified themselves are absolutely essential. I don't think any author, aside from those that the sovereign Lord has canonized in his word of God, is to the point to where we could not completely do away with their writings.
Yeah.
And the church would still move forward with strength and purity.
Yeah.
I don't need the sermons of Steve Lawson or the apologetic mind of Ravi Zacharias or the passionate preaching of Artaxerxes in order for the gospel to go forth in my church, mm-hmm. or for me to be encouraged in what is true personally. Now, some of those hurt more than others. Like I said, the Artaxerxes yeah. one hurt me because it was personal, right?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, Steve Lawson really hurt, mm-hmm. right? For a lot of people, Ravi Zacharias really hurt, right? Mm-hmm. You felt the pain of Driscoll, right? But none of those men, or no artists, right? Authors, bloggers, podcasters, pastors, none of them ultimately are needed
yeah.
in order for you to live the life that Christ has called you to live.
or for that matter, for the kingdom going forward as well, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's for all those reasons that I have, with Jack, I've gotten rid of my Lawson stuff. Again, it's a matter of conscience. If you have chosen to do the opposite, that is your conscience, right? Engage these topics with wisdom, discernment, and patience, right? But do not keep such things because you believe you cannot get those tools or those that encouragement anywhere else. Because in believing that, we are showing that we are placing so much hope and stock into men instead of the Lord. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
We are beggars showing other beggars where to find bread at the end of the day. Right? A sinful man is at his best a sinful man. Mm-hmm. And it is the Lord that brings the encouragement through his word, right? And ultimately, right, your local church pastors, your community, right? So use discernment in those things. And I don't lose the ability to be encouraged or to be edified with Steve Lawson out of the game. Yeah. It's a plague on the church. It's a hit to the witness. But in terms of my personal growth and my ability to be encouraged and my ability to pastor and to lead and to shepherd, the Lord has given us so many wonderful resources throughout the entirety of church history that mm-hmm. we can go to, that we know these individuals, not that they were perfect, they were very flawed, but they upheld truth.
Yeah.
And they upheld their character. And those are the resources that I, over the years, have really enjoyed going to. And I'll be honest, Jack, like, there, I can count on probably one hand the resources that I will go to from individuals today that are alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very small. The list is so small.
Yeah.
Of no, modern absolutely. Day preachers and pastors that I will occasionally listen to. I prefer the company of dead men because I know how they ended.
Yeah.
And the jury's still out on everyone else that's alive, as we have seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is kind of a referendum for where do we get our content for sermons, you know?
Yeah.
I think this was brought up because I think Joe Thorne, our friend Joe Thorne,
Joey,
back in St. Charles, Illinois. I think he posted a Don Carson quote about like listening to like 50 preachers or something like that.
Oh, I think and I shared like, that too. Yeah.
And he's like, who has time to listen like, to 50 preachers? To I'm starting to do this within kind of who I'm listening to as well. But I mean, if I'm not, I'm in a what we call a Pastors and Leaders Institute in my local church where mm-hmm. we focus in on spiritual formation, personal formation, and then also within like theological formation.
Yeah.
And so we take different books and go through them. If I'm not looking through those books, I'm probably listening to different pastors in my church planning network that our church is a part of.
Sure. Sure.
And we have like a handful of churches. Like we have a sister church in Aberdeen. We have another sister church in McMinnville, Oregon, and then another mm-hmm. sister church in Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I've actually listened to half of those, probably even more of them. I think I might have heard all of them preach before, and they were way more edifying than what you would get if you're just listening to other people's content because they don't have skin in the game.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're always more edified by individuals that know us, that we're in community with. At least we should be, right? If you're looking constantly toward the celebrity pastors or the ones with the big platforms instead of the ones that are in your own circle that know you, that have their feet under your kitchen table, you're missing out. You're missing out big time, right? And yeah, we should be putting the priority on those pastors that the Lord has placed in our lives, our own local church pastors, the people in our networks, right? And if you want to go to someone, if you want to have, again, like, I'm not a fan of the term hero. I'm much more in the camp over the last 10 years or so of being no heroes but Christ. But if you want those individuals to look at, right, and you want to dig into the lives of individuals that that have walked through the things that you've walked through and have done so faithfully, look to the men and women in church history. Again, this is a huge reason I'm bringing it back. Why I love Reformation Month is because it reminds me I'm not alone. Look at the countless men and women in church history that put their life on the line. Put their life on the line and had showed the quality of their character and the quality of their steadfastness in the gospel, right? That they did not sway left to right. They stood firm under extreme oppression, torture, death, and proclaimed no king but Christ, right? Those are the men and women that I want to learn from. Those are the men and women that I believe are worthy of honor and worthy to look toward, to learn from, right? Not that they didn't have flaws. It's not that they didn't sin. Luther had a mouth on him, right? Had a mouth on him, and Calvin, you know, had his flaws. Okay. All right. You know, Jonathan Edwards had some skeletons in the closet, right? Mm-hmm. They all did. But that makes me even more comforting because I know the skeletons I got in my closet.
Yeah.
I know the things that I struggle with.
Yeah.
If the Lord can use, like, someone like Martin Luther, a hot-headed German man, right? Right? Or Spurgeon with all of his depression and anxiety. He can use me. And that's encouraging to me because I see that those men, even with their great flaws, finished well.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing them in heaven. Those are the individuals to put stock into because we know how it ended. Like, I like to know what the ending is before I decide whether or not I'm all in on something, you know? So those are just my thoughts.
I think something that was brought up this Lord's Day that was helpful, we're going back and finishing up our series in Acts, and we're starting off with Paul leaving and going into Jerusalem. And he's going into these towns, and people are saying, you will be bound, you know, like Agabus. He says, you will be bound, and you'll be taken by the Roman authorities, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because, you know, Paul was so, like, steadfast on the gospel in a lot of his epistles.
Yeah.
And, like, do not give in to stuff. Do not swayed with the law. And it's interesting because Paul then, you know, kind of takes this Nazarite vow and kind of subjects himself under the law.
Yeah.
And you would think Paul would, like, raise a fit and stuff. But Paul doesn't. He's like, okay, that's fine. It's just a very interesting contrast where you see if we are to be like Jesus, we will go down the same roads as Jesus does and Jesus did. We may not be persecuted in this country. We don't know yet. will definitely be slandered and ostracized.
For sure.
We don't know if we'll be persecuted the way that Paul was and the early church was, but we will, to some degree, have suffering and walk the roads, the same road that Jesus walked on of suffering.
Right.
Because if you are to follow, and this is indicative of what Jesus says, like the servant is no greater than the master. Mm. If the master will suffer, the servant will suffer as well too.
Right.
And it's so interesting that that word for martyr in the Greek is the same for witness.
Mm.
Like if you are to be a witness, you will be a martyr sometimes too.
I love that.
So
I love that.
But it's so comforting knowing that we have our triune God who goes before us. We have Jesus, the second member of the Trinity, who goes before us to purchase our justification, to die for us in our place for our sins on the cross. But he doesn't do that. I mean, he rises from the grave. He reigns over us now.
Yeah.
Like he is with us even to the end of the age. And so, yeah, I think of those things a lot. And I think it was very pertinent for kind of what we'd been through to hear that word on Acts this last Lord's Day and go, wow. Yeah. It is somewhat comforting and reassuring to know that you might be on the same road as Jesus is on as far as persecution. Yeah. But it's also somewhat terrifying to a certain degree, but you just have to go back to those gospels and look that Jesus had the same emotions that you have.
Yeah.
He's anxious about stuff, especially on the road to the cross. Like he is like in a emotional mess because what he has to face, but it's so, I think comforting knowing that our Lord will be with us on this road to the celestial city, like we talk about.
Absolutely.
And that is the, I think there's all that comfort there versus where I think people, these things that we bring up on the podcast, they're just little stops sometimes and they're little pit stops that kind of deter us every once in a while, but it reminds us to keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who's Jesus. Amen. So,
amen.
Yeah,
absolutely, man. I can't think of a better place to stop it. We have, we've fully pulled this podcast bus into Reformation Month City, and we're going to park here for a little bit. All right. These little stops. This is one of our favorite stops. I love this stop. And you're going to get more Reformation flavored episodes all month. It's going to be like a pumpkin spice explosion. It's going to be amazing. Amazing. But Jack, my friend, why don't you please get us out of here?
Yes, Big Eva has sung. This is actually a more upbeat vibe than our last podcast.
Oh, 100%. Last one was depressing.
Yeah. So horrible. We're thankful for you, the listener, and we're thankful that you would even entertain to listen to us and trying to make the local church central into the believer's life here. That's our mission at the Reformatory. You can follow us on the sociables, as we call them, to engage with us, to ask us a question, to pose us different episode ideas. You can find us on the Facebook, or the Metaverse, if you will, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, and always the most entertaining, the true dumpster fire of all of them, the sociable formerly known as Twitter X. Like I said, you can find us at the tag at Reformatory Pod on all of those sociable platforms. And Josh, you could tell the lovely people how they might support us here at the Reformatory in our endeavors.
That's right. Well, there are multiple ways that you can do that. As Jack said, follow us on all the socials. That'd be awesome. You can reach out to us on the socials there as well. If you want to see, you know, people get really riled up at me, you can head on over to Twitter and
we're talking about it on the podlog, people.
I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did.
Anyway,
you're gonna have to join the podlog to hear us chat about fun Twitter drama. Oh man, it was much fun. Anyway, like Jack said, there's multiple ways you can support the Reformatory. We're on YouTube. If you've listened to this podcast for a while and you thought, hey, I want to see what these guys look like, and you want to subject yourself to that, well, head on over to YouTube, look for the Reformatory Podcast, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say, share an episode with a friend that you might think they might enjoy it. On Apple and Spotify, you can rate this podcast and review this podcast. We ask that you would, and especially for Reformation Month, 5 stars for 5 soulless people. You know what it's about. Last but not least, as we have already stated, we have a Patreon. That's where all the fun happens. That's where Jack and I let our hair down and we let loose. All right. Kick off our Sunday shoes. That's what we do on the Podluck, and you get bonus episodes, reformatory chat, where it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun over there. We have a great time, and we would ask you to join it for $5 a month. That's it, a $5 holla. It's less than a pumpkin spice latte. You too could become a Patreon supporter and have your name hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. This is our pledge to you. We're going to go record some right now. So head on over there. Click the little link in the description of this episode. Join the pod. Do it. Do it. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.